For our scripture lesson tonight, we turn to the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 59, and we go into chapter 60. Chapter 59, verse 21. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them, my spirit who is upon you, and my words which I put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your son shall come from afar, and your daughter shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you, the wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. The multitude of camels shall cover your land, the dromedaries of Midian in Ephah, all those from Seba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together to you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They shall ascend with acceptance on my altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. So far, our reading of the prophecy of Isaiah. I want to say, congregation, that it's so good for Audrey and for me to be with you once again to worship our triune God. I'm grateful to the consistory for the invitation to bring the word to you tonight. And not only is the word brought to you tonight, but I have had the privilege of baptizing three precious infants of the church. The love which you as a congregation have shown during the months of my illness is unbelievable. And I thank you for the cards, for the inquiries, for the prayers. I want to thank the boys and girls of the congregation for the cards which they drew and which they sent. The Lord has been so good to us and has answered prayers. The oncologist has given us a good report just recently, has said that at the present time there are no active cancer cells. And just this past week I had an electrocardiogram, and the result of that is favorable. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful to the Lord. What he has in store for us, we don't know. But each day is a gift from him, and we are grateful for it. And I'm grateful to be with you tonight. And I want, after I heard that it was baptism tonight, I turn to the favorite passage of Scripture for baptisms, which is the 21st verse of Isaiah 59. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My spirit who is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time forth and forevermore. Will you notice with me God's continuing promise? And we're going to notice, first of all, the giver of the promise. Then secondly, we're going to go on to look at the promise itself. And then thirdly, we're going to notice the assurance which is given to us. First of all, then, we notice the giver of the promise. The sovereign God speaks to us from his word tonight. And this is what he says. As for me, says the Lord. The Lord looked down upon his people and there was no one to deliver them. There was no one to grant them help. And so he himself comes to them, and he says to them, "As for me, says the Lord." God deals with his people by way of covenant. I think the catechumens will remember that a promise was already given to Adam and to Eve in the Garden of Eden. For we read in Genesis 3, verse 15, that God comes and he says to them that he's going to destroy the head of the serpent, even as the serpent is going to bruise the heel of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm sure the boys and girls who are in church tonight, and I'm so happy to see you boys and girls, will remember the story of Noah and the flood. And remember, at the end of the flood, God came to Noah and God made a promise to Noah and to his descendants. The promise is given to us in the book of Genesis, chapter 7. And this is what we read in this promise that God gives. It begins in chapter 8 and then goes on to chapter 9. And God comes to Noah and he says to him, "Then God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, 'And as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth. Of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Thus I establish my covenant with you.'" And remember, boys and girls, God gives the rainbow, and he says that never again there will be a flood to cover the whole earth. And then God came to Abraham and to his seed in chapter 17, and we don't forget that, do we? We read it already tonight when we read the form for the sacrament of baptism. And this is what God said in chapter 17 of Genesis, verse 7. "And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generation, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you." And so God comes with his precious promise. And he says that promise is not only for parents, but it's for their children and for their children's children. It's his covenant. You and I know that so much emphasis is placed in our day upon man and what man has done and what man will do in the future. But in the Word of God, the emphasis is upon God and what God has done and what he promises to do for us. And what is it that God promises? Well, just this. Listen. "My Spirit who is upon you and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth." My Spirit who is upon you shall not depart. Reminds us of Acts 2, verse 39, doesn't it? We read it just a little while ago when we read the form for the baptism of infants. "For to you is the promise, and to your offspring, and to as many as the Lord our God shall call unto him." And what was that promise? Well, God had just given his Holy Spirit, hadn't he? And now in Acts 2, verse 39, God promises that that Spirit will not be removed. And that's the promise that we find in our text for tonight, too, in Isaiah 59, verse 21. And now we look at these three precious children who were baptized tonight, and their little brothers and sisters, and all the children of the church. And what do we desire for them? we desire salvation for them. Huh? What shall it profit these children if they gain the whole world and lose their own soul? And the answer is nothing. But here the promise is given that the Holy Spirit will not depart from our children and from our children's children. The Holy Spirit who brings our children to repentance, who brings them to a knowledge of their sinfulness, who brings them to a knowledge of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who brings them to a knowledge of the only way of salvation. And so our text says that our Spirit who is upon you and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth. We know, don't we, that the Spirit does not work apart from His Word. And that places such an importance upon the Word. And that places an importance upon the parents who presented their children for baptism tonight, and upon you who have done it in days and months and years past. That's why one of the questions that was put to these parents and was put to parents in the past was this: do you intend to instruct these children in the said doctrine? Oh, we've got to recognize the importance of God's Word within our homes and in the lives of our children. Nothing may crowd that Word out of our lives. Because we're in trouble when the Word is crowded out of our life and out of the life of our children and our children's children. That's why family devotions are so important in the life of our families. That's why we can't let anything destroy them. Because God speaks to us and to our children and to our children's children through His Word. And what does He make known to us? Boys and girls, did you hear the organist play, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so"? The Bible tells us about Jesus Christ and His death on the cross. And that is the only way that you and I can be saved. And so the precious promise is given to us that the Spirit and the Word will never be taken from us, from our lives or the lives of our children or of our children's children. And that means, too, that that Word should have an important place in our lives as individuals. Oh, it means a great deal for us as a family. But it ought to mean a great deal to us as individuals, too. I remember so well family visiting in a home of young children. And those children told me something. You know what they told me, boys and girls? They told me that when they came downstairs in the morning, because their bedrooms were upstairs, they always found their dad in his chair reading his Bible. And I thought, what a precious memory for those children. Now, I know it doesn't work out for every father or for every mother to read the Bible in the quietness of the morning. But sometime during the day, maybe it's at the end of the day, there ought to be time to read God's Word, to lay it up in our hearts, so that our children and our children's children know that our lives are not ruled by the world that is round about us, but our life is ruled by the Word of God as God reveals His Word to us in His Word. The Holy Spirit works through that Word in the life of individuals, in the life of families, but also in the life of the church. One of the primary tasks of the elders is to see to it that the Word is proclaimed from the pulpit each Lord's Day. That's why the elders have been careful in presenting to you a name for your consideration for pastor. because they know that it's important to have a man in this pulpit who preaches the Word and the Word alone, who teaches the youth of the church the truths of God's Word. I noticed in the bulletin that there's still a need for a couple of workers to teach the girls of the church. And I trust that that need will be fulfilled, because it's so important that in the youth work of the church, the Word has a central place in the lives of the boys, in the life of the girls, in the life of the young people. That Word has to have a central place. And as it has a place in the life of our children, so it has to have a place in our life as adults. Men's society, women's society will be beginning a new season. It's so important that these societies are attended, and that our children and our children's children know that we place an important place upon the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. And so our text says, the Spirit and the Word shall not depart from us. It shall not depart from our homes. It shall not depart from our church. And soon school's going to start again. And it's such a blessing that so many of our children can attend schools that are founded upon the Word of God. Just recently, I conducted the funeral service of a lady who was 90 years old. She grew up in northern Michigan. Some of you have your roots there too. She went to a Christian school in northern Michigan. Her husband had died over a year ago. And she told me that since the death of her husband, she had started to read the Old Testament. And you know what she said to me, boys and girls, young people and grown-ups? She said that as she read the Old Testament, the stories that she had learned when she attended the Christian school so many years ago came back to her memory. And she remembered her teacher teaching those stories. And so our boys and girls who have the privilege of attending a Christian school, or who are homeschooled by Christian parents, or who attend a school in the community so that their parents are conscious of what they are taught, should remember the stories of their youth. And the Word of God says, they shall not depart. Oh, that's the covenant promise that our God gives to us. Sometimes we have to wait to see the fulfillment of that covenant. And sometimes parents who have grown gray, as I have, don't see the fulfillment of that promise, but they die claiming it. Because our text says to us, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. There's the assurance that is given to us. From this time and forevermore. You and I as parents, as great-grandparents, as even great-grandparents, because I know that there are great-grandparents here this evening, can claim those covenant promises that our God says in His Word that His Spirit and His Word will not depart from our mouths, or from the mouth of our descendants, or from the mouth of our descendants' descendants. Oh, you and I are so rich. We are so rich as members of the Reformed faith, because we believe in the sovereignty of our God who works by His Spirit and through His Word to bring forth and to fulfill His promises. And oh, if there is anyone here tonight who doesn't know the reality of this promise in his or her life, who has turned his or her back upon the promise of the Lord, upon His Spirit and upon His Word, then let me say to you tonight that there is no guarantee that you'll be permitted to come to church another Sunday. During the night, an aged member, a member of this church, was called into the Lord's presence. But that can happen to the young also. Just recently, I called on grandparents whose 19-year-old grandson had been killed in an instant in an automobile accident. And so, regardless of your age, there is only one way of salvation, and that's the way that's taught to us in the Word. That's the way that the Spirit shows to us. That's the way of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, regardless of your age, I call on you tonight to bend the knee, if you've never done it before the Lord Jesus, and put your faith and trust in Him and in His completed salvation. And then you can join all of us who in times past have put our faith in Jesus Christ, the only Savior among men, who is made known to you and to me through the Word and by the Spirit. Let us pray together. O Lord, our God, we give Thee thanks for the covenant which Thou hast established with us and with our children and with our children's children. We're thankful that Thou Thyself hast given Thy Son as the surety of that covenant. We're thankful, Father, for the sign of baptism, which is a sign and seal to us of the assurance of salvation through Jesus Christ. And now we pray, Father, that as we have witnessed the sacrament in this night, as we've heard Thy Word proclaimed, that no one of us may be guilty of turning his or her back upon the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But may each one of us rejoice in Him in whom alone there is forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. We're thankful for Thy promise which Thou hast given to us, which is ever and forever. For we ask it in Jesus' name alone. Amen.